Okay, let me begin with some reassurance. If you didn't understand a word of today's readings, you are not alone. If the reading from Revelation gave you the creeps because of the way it's been so badly used over the years, you are not alone. If you are disappointed that the psalmist tells us that God delighteth not in any man's legs, you are not alone. Or is that only me? Okay, moving on. Yes, the readings we had today are strange. And hearing them without any context or background, knowing where they come from, makes them even stronger. I mean, I do know where they were coming from, and I thought they were strange. Which, of course, is much of the problem of the way that Scripture is used. Just today, I saw a conversation between someone who claimed that God ordains who will lead a nation, referring to a certain Cheeto-colored wannabe dictator, and to a badly taken out of context reading of Romans chapter 13. This was backed up, apparently, by an equally baffling selection of individual, out-of-context Bible verses, which only cemented how woefully lacking in any theological awareness or education this person was. I think generally I could go so far as to say that many of the woes we are experiencing in our world at this moment are the result of badly misunderstood or willfully misunderstood Bible verses. And when you add quoting pulp fiction as scripture, there is no end to the catastrophes we might face. So back to Zechariah and Revelation. The readings we heard from this evening, I'm sure you know, are dreams, they're visions, they're records of an altered state of some kind. The kind of thing you remember fuzzily as you wake up in the morning, or after, I am told, a particularly good trip. As I've said before, many of these visions which are preserved in our scriptures are like a language, a code to which we do not have the key. Some of the images crop up repeatedly in the vision literature of both Hebrew and Christian scriptures, such as lampstands. And there's a general consensus among scholars as to what those images might mean. But many of the images that we read of, that we hear read out loud, are very much rooted in the time they were written. The difficulty is when the uninformed and those who are trying to use scripture to back up whatever odd beliefs their pastor says they should have, take these vivid images and create conspiracy theory-worthy constructions of a reality they claim is going to happen or is happening, something akin to The Omen or the dreadful Left Behind series. These visions that we heard of are not predictions, but commentaries on events contemporary to their time. It's commonly held amongst biblical scholars that Revelation is a book that is set up to encourage the early Jesus communities to remain faithful despite persecution from Rome, and that much of the language of the book is a critique of the Roman Empire and of the emperor, which, if it were not coded, would be punishable by an increasingly nasty selection of ways to be put to death. These vivid, poetic, imaginative visions are deliberately dreamlike. Zechariah even writes that he was like someone awakened from sleep, being talked to by an angel. They're not meant to be taken literally. And they aren't meant to frighten or to be used to frighten people. They are meant to reassure. They are words of comfort and encouragement. In Zechariah, the exiles returning to Israel are being told that though progress seems slow, the temple, the city of Jerusalem, the nation will be rebuilt. Do not, says the prophet, despise the day of small things. I love that phrase. It means it doesn't look like much is happening, but it is. And honestly, I think that's a word I need to hear at present. I know that a lot of things are going on in our community. There's so much of value, but we don't seem to be seeing the change and growth that I think our music, our liturgy, our teaching, our community, our work with the arts, our connections with the community should be bringing. I know that many things are happening, and there are many green shoots around, and at the same time, I sometimes wish we were seeing more of the results of the creativity and hard work that has been put in. I wish it were happening now. But again, I see the reassurance that though things may seem insignificant, there is much happening, and I should indeed not despise the day of small things. Likewise, the images in Revelation suggest to us that God is not distant, but very much present among us. The image of the New Jerusalem, that place where the presence of God is made manifest, is not in heaven, in what we heard this evening, but amongst us. The former things have passed away, and God's home is amongst God's people. Any thoughts of a God who is at a remove are gone. These visions, these dreams, are for our comfort, to encourage us, to uplift us. Those who seek to use these visions for their own ends, to control and coerce, and who like to use the images of fiery lakes, have missed that the imagery is not aimed at the reader, but at those who oppose the values of God. The list given by the author of Revelation today is not an exhaustive, divinely inspired list, but the worst things that that person, sometimes called St. John the Divine, could think of in his context, in his world. The lake of burning sulfur is for those who visit evil upon others, says this vision, as it attempts to those who are suffering from the evil actions of the state, the empire, and all who oppose them. Though these visions are much misunderstood and much maligned, they exist not to confuse or disturb. They have their reasons for writing what they do, and are never seeking to be anything other than poetry, imagination. And if we can see that, then perhaps we too can be comforted and inspired by their reminder of God's presence with us in all things, even in our dreaming. Amen.